Well, bless the Lord. It's, you know, with what's going on in our world today, the title today that we're talking about is There's Got to Be a Better Way. There's got to be a better way. And I know multitudes in the Valley of Decision are asking that question. They're just absolutely, many of them at their wit's end. And there is a better way. We know that. But I was really stirred.
Is your recorder turned on?
Yeah, it's on. Thank you. I got double warning, double caution on that. Thank you very much, Ted. Appreciate it. Anybody else?
1, 2, 3.
Is your recorder on?
For all those that may be listening, everybody wants to know if we got a recording going on. So, yes, we do. Thank you very much. There must be a better way. I tell you, we really do. We really do need to be hearing the voice of God, because we do have a culture out there that is really going 1,000 miles an hour away from God's voice. And you're going to seem to be more and more odd and more crazy, because if you're staying in the Lord and not going along with the crowd of the cultural shift that's taking place in this world, and it's happening rapidly. It really is. I see it everywhere. I witness it everywhere. And I tell you what, the thing that we're going to have to be doing as Christians and God's children more and more as the days go by, we really do need to hear His voice to know how to respond. Not what somebody else would do, not some mechanical, mechanized answer. If the person says that, then you say this. If they do that, then you do this. You know, I'm not talking about some robotic, learned by rote type thing, but when you hear the voice of God, then He's going to direct you fresh in that moment how to respond to any given situation. You don't want to live the life that God has called you to live through someone else. Quite often, you know, I use the Farkas family as an example. They're all unique. They're all different. They all have their personalities. It's all good. Nobody's perfect. But God is using all of us. He's putting all things, putting the pieces together in His church, in His body, to be useful to promote the welfare of His body. But we really do need to hear the voice of God. We got some crazy things going on out there in our world. And I just want to spend a few moments with you visiting something that we hadn't visited yet. We visited a part of it, but it was something that came out and focused on the family about this cultural shift that's going on. I'm going to share some great scriptures and talk about there definitely is a better way. And so this is something that Jim Daly had sent out from Focus on the Family. I really appreciate that ministry. I've said that before. They've done a great work, but they're godly people, God-minded people, and that is their ministry. Their ministry is to have a healthy family, and not only in the United States, but in our world today. You do away with the family, we're in trouble, and we are in trouble. The adversary has done his best to destroy the family. And we have not only AWOL husbands, we have AWOL mothers as well. And we have children going AWOL. And so we really need to be hearing God's voice to be the men and women that God called us to be in our world today, to know how to respond to every given situation that we may encounter. I want to share some things with you here, and we're going to talk about some scriptures, but we do see some very powerful things going on out there. But the thing is, and I'm going to give you some good stuff right here, but how should we, it's a good question, as Christians regard the cultural shift that we see going on around us? How do we respond to this? And we feel it. It's just like a quake that is vibrating under our feet. It's going to literally bust through and manifest in a more powerful way as far as adversarial forces. Should we just focus on the good news and forget the bad? Should we focus on the good news and forget the bad? I'm talking about some feelings out there that we have in the church. And in other words, don't worry, be happy. This is a good question. Should we just forget about what's going on out there, mind our own business, and just full speed ahead, just me and Jesus? Should we shout and scream and fight fire with fire? These are carnal type questions. How to handle it carnally. Should we just fight fire with fire? Or might we just dismiss these types of events as nothing new under the sun? Nothing new under the sun. It's always been here, always will be. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, that which has been is that which will be. And that which has been done is that which will be done. So there is nothing new under the sun. Have you heard that before? So we have trouble. We have weirdos out there. We have people that, stray from the Lord. It's just that seemed to be a little bit more of it right now. And that's always been that way. And we're in a cycle. Well, we're not in some kind of a cycle. 20 years from now, I'm not going to be saying to you, gee, what is kind of crazy back in 2012. Everybody finally got their act together and everybody's repented. We're all, for the most part, 90% of the people are Christians now. I don't think it's going to happen because what I read in Revelation and what I read in God's Word saying with the futures, we're going to go down. You're not going to go up. The up is for the individuals accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We see that. We see multitudes of people coming to Jesus Christ, but there are multitudes that are not. So we have a general, pretty powerful cultural shift taking place in our world today. Understandably, we need to not respond with indifference or raw animus or ill will. Does nothing to redeem the situation. To be apathetic or not concerned is to be foolish. To rage red hot with venom is counterproductive. There must be a better way. And this is what really stirred me for this title. There must be a better way. There is. I think the world knows there is a better way. They're just not choosing to do it. How many of you growing up knew there was a better way, but you had a life to live, things to do, and places to go? I did. I did good to my neighbor and all those things and tried to live a life that was helpful to, most people look at you and think you're good old Joe, but you're dead as a doornail without Jesus Christ. So I just had things to do, places to go, and my own self to serve. My own self became my God. And so, but I knew there was a better way. I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to humble myself to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Went to church and did all those kind of things, but still wasn't ready to do what he wanted me to do. A big difference. There are those who would rather ignore the problem. There's three different views here. Those who want to ignore the problem and maintain the business of church as usual. This group isn't surprised at the weight of moral depravity. They're not surprised at the moral depravity. They know it's out there. We have political corruption. They know that's out there. And social promiscuity that permeates our culture. There's a lot of promiscuity going on out there that just kind of, yeah, we know it's there. They expect no less from a country that's lost touch with the traditional Judeo-Christian roots. Kind of accept it for what it is. These folks are not alarmed by losing some people along the way. After all, every battle has casualties. In this segment of believers, any talk of a culture war is met with either fatigue or outright disinterest. After all, didn't Jesus himself talk about those people whose faith roots did not run deep enough to survive the storms of life? Parable of the sower. Parable of the sower. We different kinds of seeds. Some fell on the wayside and the birds came and ate them up and the sun scorched them. Some went into the rocky soil but it didn't have enough depth. And so they died and some fell into good fertile soil and they bore fruit. 20, 30, and 100 fold. So you can kind of understand that in scriptures. That's the way it is. There's not much we can do about it. But I thank God for folks like some of our young ones are going into the schools. and really looking to the Lord to make a difference, to sow seeds of life into some of these young people. Young people approaching young people. And there's some cultural problems out there, isn't there, Naomi? I mean, you see it, you hear it, you may get some flack over it, I'm sure. Don't want to hear it, you know. Not now. I got my life to live. I got my things to do and places to go. I don't want to hear what you're saying right now. But still, they're not disappointed in that. I'm sure they'd like to see a greater response because it's disheartening because you know what's going to happen to these people. And so thank God that we do have those that are not just giving up, but they're seeking God to hear His voice, where they need to go, what they need to do. And so there is the more traditional camp of long historic standing where believers are quite comfortable to and eager to engage the culture. When Linda goes into the schools, there's an engagement with the present culture that we're experiencing right now. She's engaging that. God has given you an open door to talk about morality and using the Vietnam War, how things were then, how things are now, and use all the different aspects of spiritual warfare and how to relate that and how to bring it home to the culture today. And so a lot of those kids I know are saying, there's got to be a better way, and I'm finally hearing it. And sometimes they'll come up and say things to her that are edifying to her to know that, gee, we need to hear more of this. That's correct what you're saying. We need to go out and apply this to my life. Some, not all, but some of them do. And so you're engaging the culture, and you're not just going to give up, and what's the use? It's unique to you doing that, unique to you doing what you're doing, unique to me what I'm doing. But we need to be doers. Unique, but we need to be doers. Shirley sat down to hear the voice of God concerning Linda's mother. What business is that of Shirley's? What business is it of Shirley to seek God on Linda's behalf concerning her mother? Did you ever think about that, Ted?
It's God's business.
That's the answer I want. See, it's God's business.
He wants to use her. That's God's business.
It's God's business. You see, that's how we need to look at it. It's not being nosy or anything. It's edifying. It's encouraging to Linda as well, especially to see it 33 days later, you know, about something that was said about her mother. Very encouraging. Very edifying. It's God's business. Do you ever think about it that way? We just need to make sure we're hearing from the Lord as we express these things. And I know, if I were you, hearing what you're hearing now, what you know now after the fact, don't you think it would be certainly edifying to the vessel who wrote these things that were from the Lord? If you water, you're going to be watered. As you water, you're going to get the water too. It's just a constant flow. He who waters is going to be watered himself. Naomi?
And I just like that example of confirmation, because at my church they say you should never be informed. It should be confirmation. Mm-hmm. Like when people prophesy and stuff, it should be confirmation, not information.
Mm-hmm. We can sure give the information, can't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all understand what she just said? We need to be informed from God. We don't need your opinion.
Amen.
I think Carlos, you should blah, 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 blah. You don't need to hear that. You need to hear from God what God is saying. That's what this hearing the voice of God is all about. In such a world that is going south culturally, all the more so there needs to be a real digging in here to really get closer to the Lord. So anyhow, you have the traditional Judeo-Christian view that is not afraid or ashamed to engage the culture. See it for what it is. You don't judge people. You don't hope they, have a straight road to hell. But you're praying for them. You have mercy upon them, and you want to engage them with the Word of God, with a message from the Lord. And so you have that group, and then you have the traditional, and then you have another group that is countless Christians aren't sure what to make of this massive cultural shift. They don't know what to make of it. They just don't know. So you got three different camps here. You got those who want to ignore the problem, those who want to engage the culture, and those who aren't sure what to do or what to make of the cultural shift. Do you notice there's something very definitely wrong going on in our world today? I mean, just because of what you see, what comes forth in movies, what comes forth out of magazines, what comes forth on TV, the things that they're doing, the things that they're promoting, it's amazing what we see, what we are witnessing. It all has to do with getting away from God's light, and when you get away from God's light, you go into what greater darkness? You get away from clarity. In your handout today, I said, because I'm very familiar with this, you take a plant, very specifically, you get it from Lowe's, you get it from nursery, you get it from Home Depot, it'll tell you on there. It'll say what? One of the first thing it says on there for you to know is full sun or shade. It'll tell you how high it basically grows or how wide it grows and some of its, you know, temperature tolerances, whether it can take only so cold of a temperature or whatever. But if you take a plant that requires full sun, which we do, and you put it into a shaded area in your ignorance, what's going to happen to that plant that has been placed in an environment that is not intended for that plant to bloom and bear fruit? Nessie?
It won't bloom because there's no sun and light.
It needs what? It needs that photosynthesis. It needs that sun. It needs that to generate fruit or blooms unique to it. And so somebody comes up here and you put it in a, you put it in a dark, shadowy area. It's supposed to be full bloom. It says right on the label, and it's just not doing it. And the foliage begins to diminish as well. It's just not a healthy plant. God made us to walk with Him. Every generation, no matter what generation we're in. Somebody might think, gee, I wish I was living in the 1800s. And somebody else might say, I wish I was living in the Middle Ages. And gee, I would just be so much better, you know, instead of all the problems that we have in our world today with all our modern medicine, all these type of things. But you aren't. You're here now. Bloom where you're planted.
Amen.
God created us to dwell with Him and to walk with Him in the light. And Jesus, who is He if He isn't what? The light of the world, the light of life. We need illumination today. We need an understanding today in order to know what to do and how to do it and when to do it. You could receive something from the Lord. You can hear God's voice today, but it's not time to release it. See, we got a lot to learn here about hearing God's voice. Timing is everything. I could receive something and write it down, and I know in my spirit it's not time to share it because it's just not time. God has many things. Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you're not able to, you can't take it right now. And he knew what he was talking about, and later on they knew he knew what he was talking about. But you're not able, you can't handle it right now, so why say it? So why even say to somebody, follow me, why say to somebody, I could walk up to you, and I walk up to Shirley and say, Shirley, I got something to say to you, but you can't handle it right now. Why even say that?
Yeah.
Why not just know that and shut up? Because what that...
Because you're still learning, right?
I got something to say to you right now, but you can't handle it. Oh, proud chicken. And Lord says, I got a whole lot more to say to you, and you can't handle it than what you're talking about her not handling. Get that. See, every time I just bring it back to me, it just melts you. We do have problems in our world today, very serious cultural problems. They do not agree, they do not line up with the Word of God. But what is your responsibility in this world today at your age, where you are in the environment that you're placed in? I can't, and I don't really necessarily want to. I don't envy Mary in the classroom. But that's where she is. And by the way, last week I asked you to read two different scriptures two different times. And she did. And she had an extraction. And you didn't say anything about that. Bless your heart. And you were really feeling that. And I apologize. I would not have called on you to read. And she read it anyhow. But that's where she was, you know.
My daughter shared something with me about pain. She said that it was healing. So if you're feeling pain, you're healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
I was feeling pain, but you know what? Thank you, Jesus.
I like that. I like that. But I did not know. She had just had that done Friday, and here she is Sunday. She was really feeling that, and she read anyhow. There's a lot of things I don't know that maybe you're going through. But you just take the information and you just, you know, engage the situation and do what you got to do. And she did. Without complaining. How many of you are willing to engage what's out there in your life by really desirous to hear what God has for you and how to engage it? How many of you really want to hear from God how to engage this? It's easy to get on a horse and ride out in 1,000 different directions, but it's a lot different to get on a horse and be very, very surgical. Go where God directs you to go. That's awesome. It's life imparting. It's critical. So I have a lot to learn about hearing the voice of God, but I sure want to hear His voice more clearly. I go to bed at night. I've said this for years. Please go to bed at night and ask the Lord to teach you even while you sleep. I don't care if it's revelation or dream or just nothing that you know of whatsoever happened during the night. You wake up in the morning and you just draw closer to the Lord because you asked Him that. Isn't that a good idea? And what about when you wake up? Lord, teach me today. Show me, reveal unto me what you're saying to me. It'll line up with Scripture. You're not going to be some rogue. You're not going to be going out here on your own. You're going to line up with Scripture what God has for you. That's why we need to, you know, stay humble. And a cord of many strands, you know, is very valuable. The counsel of the Lord is very valuable for those who stay humble to hear His voice. Praise the Lord. I like the camp that wants to engage. Running is not going to do any good whatsoever. God's children have never ran from Him, not when God was in it. David ran to Goliath. It says he ran. He hurried to slay Goliath. Everybody else back there, just, hey, what's up? I don't see how this is going to happen. Woom. 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 And at the right woom, he let it go. And slew him and cut his head off with his own sword. God will give us a victory. We just need to depend upon Him. Now, this is something we've been hearing. I want to share it again with you. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. This is very important because we need to say it again. We need in our world today, in our society today, desperately to hear the voice of God. And guess what? God desperately wants to share His voice with us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You can want to hear God's voice all you want, but if it's not going to be unlocked, then why ask God? But if you want to hear God's voice, is it God's will for you to hear His voice? See, you got to know that too. I know God. You want me to hear your voice, and I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me. That's a good combination. I mean, that's a great combination because God is willing to reveal it. You got it amplified? All right. At least Habakkuk 2, verse 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
He was there.
I know I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower or fortress and will watch to see what He will say within me and what answer I will make as His mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against Him.
We got to say it again now, because if this is all we hear today, you know, about, you know, we've got, there's a better way than, and we hear this and we've accomplished something. So listen carefully to this, please, once again.
Want me to read it again?
Yes, okay. Please.
Oh, I know I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower or fortress, and will watch to see what he will say within me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him.
I will stand on my rampart. I will stand on my guard post. I will stand on this bunker. I will stand. Now, what are those things saying to you when you read that? I haven't heard this yet from Mark, but what? I will stand where I'm supposed to stand to hear the voice of God, but I haven't heard him address this part. But this is a part of what's going on too. Rampart? Bulwark? What terms are those? Siege works? What are those terms? Happy Valley? What are those terms? You understand what I'm saying? Warfare. A rampart is like a raised area. And usually there was something raised above that for observation. You're going to stand on your rampart. You're going to stand on your bulwarks. You're going to stand and see what he will say to me. We're in a warfare. Any of us, I'm telling you what, you can have a hallelujah night on a given night. I don't care. I mean, you could be rocking and rolling. Really, a lot of things happening. And on the next day, that could be on a Sunday night, on a Monday morning, you could really be feeling something you haven't felt before. You're in a warfare. You may not feel like what you were doing the night before and all the stuff that was going on, all God was saying, you may not feel like that on a Monday morning. And don't think necessarily anything's wrong with you. You're in a warfare. But so, where is your rampart? Where is your bulwark? Where is your seat? Where is it that God has you standing to see what he will say to me? See, you got to make this real. Where are you? Today, it's in Tampa, Florida. Specifically, it's right here, right now. And this afternoon, it's going to be wherever you go. That's where your bulwark is. That's where your rampart is. There's where the thoughts and the beehive of junk that can come against you, that's where you got to do warfare. You got to look to the Lord to see what he will say to you against those beehive thoughts and all the adversarial thoughts that come your way. You need to hear from God what to say to them. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Loose me now. Or how to speak to the adversary that comes against you. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. Those thoughts are not from my Lord. I know where they're coming from. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to live a life of victory. I'm going to see what God will say. I'm in a bulwark. I'm on my bulwark. I'm listening to the Lord. This is a siege work type of thing. I am placed here in a warfare situation. And see what God will say to me. It's a warfare, Debbie. You've been through some skirmishes here. You have more to go through, but you've been through some skirmishes. Carlos could stand up here. You ever do this to somebody? Say, where'd you get that scar? I did it to my guys. So, hey, where'd you get that scar? Where'd you get that scar? You got some scars, man. You know, little battles and stuff. Well, you can stand up here and say, Carlos, what about that scar? What about this scar? What about that scar? And all the, there's physical scars, and there's also what? Boy, there's those other scars. There's those spiritual scars and scars on the inside that nobody can see. Oh, Robbie hurt me so hard. Oh, man, I thought he was thinking this, but he's thinking that. What's up with you, man? You hurt me. You know, all kinds of stuff going on in our world of hurt and pain and what people may do to us or have done to us. It's a warfare. Don't you think it's a good idea to take advantage of anything that God may be teaching or showing us about hearing his voice and really try to drink it in, participate in that, and learn? Very, very, very important. Nearly everyone agrees. Listen to this and see if you're hearing this. Nearly everyone agrees that simply building bigger churches, increasing attendance, and emulating cultural norms with coffee shops and rock performance caliper worship bands is not enough to turn the tide. Coffee shops, rock groups, and such Anybody trying to emulate cultural norms is not going to turn the tide. You got to turn the heart. Bands don't turn the heart. It, you know, bring forth a manifestation of a change in the heart. But bands can glorify the Lord. How many of you like Carolyn up here just beating on drums a little bit? I'm a drum person, man. I love drums. I like going to Epcot and watch the Japan, I think it is, and man, it freaks me out. I love it. I love music. I love drums. But as you see, they cannot be the attraction. They have to be the glorification.
Yes.
They have to be the glorification. When you hit the cymbals, you know, as unto the Lord, that's cool. Because it just reverberates back to the Lord. It ascends to the Lord as a adoration of praise. I love it. I love music. I love instruments, but they cannot be the attraction. Jesus is the attraction. So, and time has shown that when you ask the question, what would Jesus do, the answer you receive will largely depend upon who you ask. Isn't that true? That's why we have so many denominations and such that are going on. Wow. Very, very powerful. And here's a question I'm going to share some scriptures with. We're going to close. Will the church lead or defer to forces inside and outside its walls? Will the church lead or defer to other forces? Will we as Christians stand for biblical truth regardless of how unpopular it might be? Are we ready to endure ridicule and persecution with grace and love? The foundations are shaking, and although the faith will never fail, I sense that if we are to live a life that reflects God's heart, we're going to have to check and recheck our own attitudes. As believers, are we lurching toward selfishness, arrogance, or pride? Or are we becoming more selfless, humble, and authentic? Those are good three powerful words. Selfless, humble, and authentic. Would you like, that's a good prayer to ask the Lord. Lord, help me to be more selfless, humble, and authentic. Can we say that today? Lord, help me to be more selfless, humble, and authentic. Y'all know what that means, don't you? We have a responsibility as disciples of Christ to live in a way that demonstrates to our culture why people should look to the church for answers, or, in my opinion, I don't say church, I say look to Jesus for answers. We are the church of Jesus Christ, but we need to look to Jesus. Wow. Very, very powerful. We have a responsibility as disciples of Christ to live in a way that demonstrates to our culture the way of Christ. Are you becoming more like Jesus or more Christ-like in your walk with Him? That's what the world is seeing or not seeing. They see you for what you are. Say what you want, talk all you want, tote your Bible around. And you know, lay your Bible around at work or whatever, and have tracts all over you. But people are going to see you for what you are. You know, so being religious or mouthy about the things of God is not going to do it. It's your life. It's your life that the world is looking at. Wow. One character, and this is good, I'm going to close with this section on this, is at the very beginning of this letter, he says, I asked you, were you one of the crazies? We talked about that before, and here's why. This past January, this is a testimony. This past January, an openly homosexual New Jersey assemblyman named Reed Gassiora acknowledged that when put to the American people, same-sex marriage is a losing proposition. This is why he said that. It's a hard dynamic to win at the polls, he said. At the end of the day, gays are a minority and they can't match the crazies who are out there and really motivated to vote against it. This is a openly gay person, a person who is an assemblyman from New Jersey. He said it's a hard dynamic to win their position at the polls. At the end of the day, gays are a minority, and they can't match the crazies who are out there and really motivated to vote against it. He calls Christians with convictions of God's word the crazies. I mean, the very will of God is called crazy in our society today.
Muslims shoot homosexuals, so they're also in on it.
They never come against them. We'll share some scriptures with you about what is better. See, the world knows there's a better way. And that better way is Jesus. You have that in your handout. He is the better way, the better truth, and the better life. But listen to these scriptures about better. In Psalm 84:10, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." The King James says, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." A day in thy courts is better than a thousand outside. And I want to ask you this. A day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand outside. It doesn't mean necessarily a thousand days outside. It could be a thousand years outside or a thousand millenniums outside. One day is still better than anything you can come up with. Wow. Church, please be encouraged. We are on the upper road. We serve a higher God than any God of this world. We serve the living God. And listen to this. In Psalm 118, verse 8, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." Shirley didn't know I was going to share this, but she shared that about Egypt, trusting in Egypt. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." See, that's a different scripture than what she shared in Isaiah, but it's the same thing. Listen to this. This is so powerful. The writer of Hebrews exhorts the Jewish believers to press on to maturity. His appeal is based on the superiority or the betterness of Christ over the Judaic system. In Hebrews, it says better 13 times. And so, in Hebrews, Christ is better than the angels, for they worship Him. In Hebrews, it says He is better than Moses, for He created him. The Bible says greater than Moses is here. It says in Hebrews, He is better than the Aaronic priesthood, for His sacrifice was once for all time. It says in Hebrews also, He is better than the law, for he mediates a better covenant. It appears 13 times in Hebrews. Better, 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 better. In Proverbs 8:11 it says, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." Proverbs 15:6 says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it." See, the world is esteeming the treasures of this world and all the turmoil that it causes them greater value than knowing the Lord. Wow. "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it." "Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice." Proverbs 16:8. "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool." Proverbs 19:1. And 1 Peter 3:17. "It is better If God should will it so, that you should suffer for doing what is right rather than what is doing wrong. Wow. 1 Peter 3:17, once again, it is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. I don't know about you in school or class. I do know there were times when I would be in a test situation and my seat would be such that I could see the paperwork of the person next to me. Knowing that that was goody two-shoes and they were pretty well 95 to 100 A-plus type thing, and I didn't sure what I was going to get on this one because I wasn't really studied up on that one, but there's the answer right over there. And I said back then to myself, I'd rather fail with my response than get that response, cheat, and pass. Wow. Way back then, my heart was there, but I still hadn't decided to, you know, just let go and let God. There's opportunities to cheat. There's opportunities to pass. But the Lord sees the heart, doesn't He? Always better to do it God's way. Better is a little with the Lord than all the world. Satan says, if you just bow down and you worship me, I'll give you... who is the devil going to make a deal with Jesus to give him the world that he made? But he's so dumb, he fooled himself on that one. If you'll bow down before me, I'll give you all these... it's just so dumb. Jesus made the worlds, the heavens and the earth. And Satan's going to try to cut him a deal. If you bow down to me, I'll give these things. I already have them. I also have authority over you. And he left him. Wow. And then I want to say this too. It's so powerful. In Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to thee. When my heart is faint or overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1 and 2. You see, there's something greater than us. There's something higher than us. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We've quoted that scripture before in here. I want to say to the world that the Word says there's always hope. Anyone listening to this message, anyone here today, there's always hope. It's not a doomsday type of thing. There's always hope. There's always hope for an individual to get it together. And the world right now, by the multitudes, is saying there must be a better way. And I want to say to the world, there is. I want to say to the church, there is. There's a better way. There's hope. There's an escape clause. I shared this with you. Drew was here when we shared this. We went online and looked at this. But I want this image to be in our heart and our mind today. There's always hope. There's an escape clause. And you've seen this before. Carlos, I don't know if you have or not, but I want to share with you what's going on. A Canadian fighter pilot. Remember? You all remember this? Mm-hmm. A Canadian fighter pilot. Now here's a sign. Here's a sign on the near the tarmac of the airport where this Canadian fighter pilot was practicing. He was practicing maneuvers. Well, here he is. He bailed out. That's him. And that's his ejection seat. And that's his chute. Here he is. Here's his plane. Here's a sign on the tarmac that is probably maybe 16 feet, you know, one of those big square signs. And here's the nose of the plane. Real close. In a parallel line. Real close, so he's probably maybe 20 or 30 feet, something like that. And you can't even blink, I don't think, fast enough that plane is going to be exploding in this other scene down here at the bottom. And there he is, coming down in his parachute, watching his plane, where he was, explode. Tiana?
The one on the bottom, is that the seat in the man, or is it just
down here?
Yeah.
That might be him later on coming on there, or the seat. It may be the seat, honey. I'm not sure. That might be him up here, and that's the seat down here, because here's the seat, and there he is. I'm not sure, but he survived this. He had some bruises, but he survived. What's that remind you of? It, to me, it's great hope, isn't it? I'm going to die if I don't bail out of here. The way our culture is going, this is our culture in our world today. It doesn't have to be this way. We're always going to have hope in Jesus, but it is only in Jesus that there's hope. Here's our culture. This is the way it's going. It is going to a disastrous, disastrous route. The outcome is going to be what? It's going to be hell forever, for eternity. Or they can bail out now, humble themselves, trust Jesus that he does know what he's saying. He does have a plan for man to live with him, if they so choose, forever. They don't have to do this. And I don't know about you, but I don't know, it's just so, so powerful. I don't know about you, but that's me. That's me. I bailed out.
He gives everyone an injection seat, and it's our choice to push it if we want to.
Absolutely, Naomi. Everybody's got. And what about the thief on the cross? He took it.
Yeah,
he took it. He said, man, you know, he said to the other thief, I don't know about you, but, you know, we deserve to be up here. But he doesn't.
Yeah.
And he asked the Lord for mercy. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. There must be a better way. There must be a better way. There is. It's Jesus. And you can't escape. You can't get around it. You can't hedge around it. You can't sneak around it. Because he is that door. That narrow door that leads to eternal life. Anyone listening to this today? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door to the kingdom of heaven forever. You cannot get there without going through Jesus Christ. Naomi? Did you have your hand up?
No, I was fixing my hair.
Oh. Isn't that powerful? I have, in my life, pulled the escape cord, button, whatever you want to call it. And Jesus saved me from a certain disastrous route that I was on. I am so grateful. I want to hear his voice. I want to know how to engage the culture today. In the life that he called me to live. I want to really live this successfully. I want to do this his way. How about you? You can't do it without him. Impossible. What a mighty God we serve. Ted.
Mark, I just came across this while you were showing that the parachute and the guy bailing out. And also in Psalms 61, 3 and 4. We have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. And this is referring to what we just talked about, the guy in the parachute. Consider the parachute a tent, okay? And I say this. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings.
Very powerful.
God gave wings.
Yes, sir. Here comes that umbrella, that protection, to dwell in that, to be saved from the disaster. Oh, man, I don't know about him. I don't know where he is today. But if I was that pilot, if he didn't know Jesus today, and he didn't know him before that, I said, man, you got to talk. Man, we got to talk. We got to talk, man. Oh, praise God, we got to talk. But if he doesn't, may the Lord truly visit him and save his soul. But I don't know. I don't know where he is. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And I believe we're living in a day where people do not want to endure sound doctrine. They want to accumulate teachers that will tickle their ears. And anything other than what they think, you are crazy. You got to know you're not crazy. You see, you got to know where you come from, what you're doing here, and where you're going. Knowing what you stand for limits what you fall for. Praise the Lord. Is the Lord stirring your hearts today? You feel a stirring of what the Spirit of God is doing. It's a serious hour, isn't it? Our culture is going to continue to get worse. There will be souls saved. May we be a part of, in our daily life, ministering to souls that the Lord is leading us to, that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about. Anyone listening to this message today, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, really consider the seriousness of the hour, that you will either live in the kingdom of heaven forever, or you will exist in a very real state, a real body forever in hell with real torment forever. One or the other. Heaven or hell. There's no in between.